Welcome to the D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons and various other unsundry type games. Anyway, sorry for being late. I just found out tonight it takes me 33 minutes, 34, to get from my friends Bill and Shirley's house back home here on the farm, where the wind is picking up and the air feels moist and there's thunder and lightning on all horizons. So, but it's a warm night. And so, yeah. Anyway, tonight I'll probably be reading to you because our co-host Kano is busy doing some training, I guess. And folks, I'm going to stick you in my pocket and I hope you can hear me, because I have some minor chores I need to do before I go to bed and before I settle down to talk to you people. So I'm going to talk to you while I do that. All right. Well, latest news with me, I picked up this wonderful little device called a moped. And this particular one is a Chinese brand. I do not, in general, recommend Chinese brands, but this is a Taotao or Taotao, however you want to pronounce it. Apparently the company, from what I've been able to look up, apparently they've been in business now for 35 years. They are actively marketing to the U.S. market now, and they appear to be opening up warehouses. Or factories even here, which is the reverse of everybody else. American business is running away. And the Chinese business, well, it looks like, Taotao is coming in. Now, don't take my word for it. I'm probably completely wrong. I've probably, it's probably not what's happening, because I just, I'm clueless. I don't really know anything, so I'm just going off of what I was able to find, and so you who are listening might be able to find something else, but I think it's pretty neat. It gets me around. I've driven it for over the first 100 miles away. I'm actually at mile number 129.7. So 29.7 miles ago, I should have done the oil change. That's the that's your first oil change, your break-in oil change. I don't know. Maybe it's silly to change it that early, but that's what I was told to do, and I'm going to stick with it. I was also told to change the oil every 500 miles, which it looks like in my average usage, that's probably going to end up being about once a week. But it is such cheap transportation getting around in it that, I don't know about the Taotao. Maybe there's better models of mopeds out there, but it gets me around. It's already demonstrated as doing well over 100 miles to the gallon. I got to the 74-mile mark, and I poured in about a little over half a gallon, so maybe three-quarters of a tank, and that was 75. So if that was three-quarters of a tank, that's 100 miles to the gallon. If it was only half a tank, that's 150 miles to the gallon. So somewhere in there, somewhere between 100 and 150 miles to the gallon. Now I'm probably rambling a little bit because I'm one of the things I did at Bill and Shirley's, other than playing lots of chess games with Bill, is I did my laundry, and I strapped that to the back of my moped. And I gotta tell you, there's not much extra you can carry on this moped. I need to look into fixing that. That potentially could be Well, that is a problem. It is definitely a problem. Not potentially a problem. It is a problem. Need to be able to haul more than just me around. Hauling just me around is pretty important, and I'm glad that I'm able to haul just me around. But it looks like I need to work on being able to haul a bit more than just me around. And a coconut box full of laundry and my computer look to be about the limit. Okay. Now, some of the additional sounds you may be hearing in the background other than wind is me messing around with a tarp that's been down on the ground forever. And I'm going to see about pulling it up and over my scooter so that it's protected from the weather in case it rains tonight. Partly because I'm a little bit too lazy to push the thing by hand over to the shed. And I don't think you want to listen to the motor running when I do it. Okay. Generally don't like cutting ropes without a reason. So if I can't work this knot out with one hand, I might just end up cutting it with a knife. Okay. I know you can't see what I'm doing, but, good. One of my famous slip knots just worked. All right, worked twice. Excellent. Excellent. One of the things I like to do is I like to tie slip knots into everything. But sometimes even the slip knots are a little bit too tight. And, okay, pull this out. This tarp is a bit messy, a little nasty. I don't want to pull it over my bike just now, but I would like to have it handy in case I hear it starting to rain. If I hear it starting to rain, maybe by then it'll be just dry enough. When I pull it over my scooter, it won't be quite so nasty. Oh my! What's in here? A dead body? No! What else is tied to this thing? Yeah, it looks like it's got its own little pond inside it. Yeah. That's why it felt like I was dragging a dead body. That's a lot of water. Okay. What's this? This log on top of it? Yes, it is. Much. Shoelaces. Why are you getting undone on me? Okay. Zip-bitty-doo-da, zip-bitty-yay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Kim's going to get a laugh out of me later when he listens to this. He said he'd try to pop in, so if you need to be rescued from me, he may well come and do that for you. Apparently. Yep. Okay, yep, it's moving better now. Okay. No dead air, Dave. Keep talking. Grab that corner. Pull it. There we go. Okay, we're doing good now. Interesting. Oh, yeah. That was the sound of my door blowing shut on my camper. Okay. Looks like we're now prepared to pull tarpage over the top of my tail. Okay. Now I put a fresh light in this flashlight. I think I'll go get another battery. Let's see now. Yep. Bike looks good. I am very pleased with my purchase. Only had it for a little while now, but I am very pleased with it. There we go. Parked properly. That's good. All right. That should be sturdier when I pull the tarp over it. Good. What you up to, Orange? What you doing? You hunting mice? You don't like that bright light in your eyes? Sorry about that. Okay. Yay. Yeah, another warm night. Last night, I was actually sweating. Too much, too hot. A couple of nights before that, it got down to 42. I was freezing. If you live in Missouri and you don't like the weather, just wait a couple hours. It should change. Ooh, that's beautiful. You can't see this. We have gourds, and these gourds put out these beautiful white blossoms, and I think they bloom at night. Yeah, there's an awful lot of them. I see them in the morning. They're still pretty in the morning, but they're not this pretty. They're big, they're crisp, they're large. Oh my, and we got lots of gourds. Lots of gourds. Some of the vines are starting to die, which means I can probably start harvesting some of the actual gourds. So I'm going to leave them on the vine as long as I can and let them mature. I was, we call it Dunnigan, but it's really Humansville. There's an Amish community just south of Humansville here in Missouri. For those of you who are not in the state and don't know where I'm talking about, there's a group of Amish that live in that area. And I was there recently, and I was looking at how much they're selling their finished gourds for. They apparently... they're asking $5 a piece. Now, I don't know if they're asking $5 a piece for gourds that are they're a year old, or if they're asking $5 a piece for brand new gourds, or if, you know, it's just their standard price, $5 a piece, finished with all the holes drilled. Now, it looks like you have to add the wire to theirs, but that's no big deal. But I figured I would make mine drilled, painted, and wire ready for probably the same price as what I see them going for in the area. So, so that'd be, at this point, $5 a piece, unless somebody can show me evidence that they're selling for more, but I remember buying the gourd itself, the gourd that I got these seeds from. I paid $4 for it. So, it was completely unfinished, unprepared, whatever. And they wanted $4 for it. And for another dollar, they make it birdhouse ready. So, I don't know. Anyway, so I got probably $4 worth of seed out of a really old gourd. I am hoping these new gourds will give me more. So, okay. Looks like I got most of my stuff done. And my computer is inside. Okay, hold on. Sorry about that. I'm sure that loud thumping is really doing wonders to your ears. There we go. Okay, open that window so I get some airflow. And, I have a dilemma. Somebody gave me lots and lots of candy. Lots and lots of candy. And I'm on the radio, and I can't eat any of it because my mouth will frown for me while I do it. And that was just me pretending to eat the candy. So, yeah. I guess I got my pre-Halloween candy. There's something I forgot to do. I was supposed to tell David Powers and Bill that we're having fish day and chick day at CMC. Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to start reading a book that I've been reading on and off quite a while. And I should probably make a point of reading the whole darn book from cover to cover systematically on the podcast. All right. Let's see how we're doing for battery charge. Come on. My silly little phone. There we go. Ooh, not good. I'm at 60%. So I better break out one of my battery packs and plug it in to slow down the rate at which I lose battery. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, this book, I've mentioned it many times. It's called The Free Church Report. It was written by a gentleman that goes by the name of Brother Gregory. Okay. Brother Gregory, whether he likes it or not, I think he denies that he's the founder. But, you know, most of these churches, they deny that their founder is the founder because they're just continuing in, you know, what Christ said to do, right? And I'm sure in their minds that's exactly what they're doing. But in this case, this is Brother Gregory's version of continuing in what Christ said to do. And I'll say it, he's right about many things. There's a few things that he is dead wrong on. He would challenge me to prove it if I was to say it to him. And I would challenge him to prove the points on which he claims to be correct on. And let's see, if I'm going to read this book, I really need to have better lighting, so I better go get other flashlight. Okay. So, back in my pocket you go. And, let's see how far that 60% charge goes. One of the things I'm going to need to do is I'm going to need to go through my camper and find my lost keys. Can't believe I lost some keys. Got a whole fist of keys, and I lost them, and it's driving me crazy. Maybe I left them at Joe's. You know? Probably not. All right. All I know is I better not lose the other key on my, on this beautiful little device. Because if I do, I'm up shit crick. I wonder if I locked him in the compartment. Got a lot of stuff crammed in here. Hey, if there's any locals listening, as in within a reasonable travel distance from the Washington Township in Cedar County, which is the area just north of Stockton, kind of around Kaplinger Mills. Here in Missouri, Cedar County. I've got saved up for Jesus about a day's worth of work, 24-hour day. So, you know, somebody could probably have me volunteer for about 3 days in a row doing work for Jesus, basically. Now, some of you might think that work for Jesus would be going out and telling people to just believe in the magic name and that'd be work for Jesus. And that's not really work for Jesus. Okay, and that's actually part of some of the stuff that this book that I'm going to read you brings up and points out, that working for Jesus is a bit more than just looking out for your family and showing up at church and generally just saying, Lord, Lord. God said he didn't like Baal worship. And people think that what he's talking about is he didn't like you worshiping this entity called Baal. Well, that's sort of true. That word Baal means Lord. And what he doesn't like is for us just worshiping a name, worshiping a Lord, a master. Okay, he doesn't really like us doing that. Okay? And he doesn't like being called master, you know. I mean, especially if you're gonna call him master and you don't do what he says. And so there's going to be a bunch of people, you know, if you believe the scriptures, there's going to be a bunch of people that in the end are going to show up at God's heavenly throne and going, Lord, Lord, we did all these wonderful things in your name. We did this, we did that, we did the other. You know, we brought all these souls to you, and he's going to go, I don't know what you're talking about. Hold on. That's the deal. Would that be the other co-host, or do we have a listener?
Hello, and welcome to the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com.
Yeah, we did that already. Maybe not as flamboyantly as you do it, but we've already done that.
where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, maybe we need to talk to you about repeating what's already been done.
Yeah, well, you know, we're like redundant anyway, so why not be redundant about being redundant?
Okay, all right, I've been scolded.
So what's the news?
Well, you just saved people from listening to me read the Free Church Report. This will probably be about the third time I've restarted reading it, and since I didn't actually start reading it, it isn't the third time. So
I saved our listeners from falling asleep behind.
Yeah, I started about 9 minutes late. Sorry, folks. It took me 33 minutes to drive through Kaplinger Mills. And I did drive through Kaplinger Mills. I used the bridge. I didn't really drive on the bridge because I saw that there was people on it fishing. So I dismounted and walked across.
You did. Did you do a proper dismount?
Hell if I know. I didn't fall first flat on the ground, so I guess I did.
There you go.
So
what?
So, yeah, I was talking to him about, you know, the magic name of Jesus and how that's not going to get anybody saved.
I like magic, though.
Well, I like all sorts of technology. And, you know, if you know how to speak to the leaves and snakes and stuff like that and make them turn into weird things, you know, that's just another technology.
Yeah, I wish I could turn people into toads.
Yeah, well, you know, that'd be probably cool and unkind, but again.
Well, I would only do that to the bad guys.
Right. We would turn around and define you as being the bad guy, which would justify them doing the same. Yeah, okay, that could get circular really quick.
Right.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie. Party turkey.
Yeah. So, what did you do today?
What did I? What?
Well, what made you so late? I mean, you have a reason, okay? I'm not disparaging you for being late. I'm just, there's something.
What,
that makes,
actually, I was on time.
38 minutes.
Somebody else wasn't there. So I hung up.
Oh, you called in and I wasn't there. Yeah, I was 9 minutes late. We used to held the line for, you know, whatever.
Well, I had to go. Well, I didn't really have to go to work, but I was working. We had to go drop a box. And I'm also in training, so theoretically, I shouldn't be here.
Shouldn't be fucking around on the phone. Okay.
Right. But so we had to save our listeners.
When you disappear, I'm going to start reading the Free Church Report. And this time, I'm going to start marking the page so that I start in the same place each time instead of just, you know, whatever. Anyway,
instead
you know,
of doing an instant replay?
Yeah, instead of doing an instant replay, because I'm starting over because I have no idea where I finished. And so.
I thought you were supposed to be OCD organized like me. Or better
than me. You're not organized. You're really good at going through a bunch of disorganized box in a hurry.
Exactly.
You're not organized.
Exactly.
It's beautiful. It really is beautiful. He has all of his stuff in coconut and banana boxes, which are roughly the same size. So everything is in its nice little straight cube. And he's really
right,
good at
20-foot container.
He's really good at organizing those cubes into a nice, orderly manner. But the contents of those little cubes is chaos. And he literally has to go through almost all of them anytime he's looking for something. But he does it at a whirlwind pace. It is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to watch. I mean, yeah. He can go through them just about as quickly as he can put them back, you know. So, you know, he's pulling them out, and then when it's time to put them all back, it doesn't take him, you know, it doesn't take him much less time to just put them back as it did to pull them out. So.
Pretty much.
But, yeah. He's sort of like...
I'm OCD ADD.
Yeah. Systems used to be sequential data retrieval only. He is not random access. He does not have an organized pattern to where everything is. It's just in nice, neat boxes.
It's an organized mess.
It's an organized mess.
Yeah.
Which is probably a couple of steps ahead of me. So I shouldn't complain, but he is, yeah.
Hey, you know, Papa Tomato, Mama Tomato, and Baby Tomato were walking down the street. And Baby Tomato was lagging behind, so Papa Tomato walked back to Baby Tomato and stepped on him and said, "Catch up!" So, you want to do Ron Paul? And then we want to talk about vision correction.
Vision correction. Yeah, actually, I should pull up that PDF so I can... Well, okay.
All right, you can pull that up while I'm doing Ron Paul. How about that?
That may or may not be a good idea. We should probably... Well, okay, we can discuss it in general. Okay, we can discuss
in general.
Yeah, there's reason for that. We may not have the author's permission to transmit his stuff publicly. And while there's probably all of two people listening, namely Kano and I.
Well, we're not transmitting it. You were going to kind of read it, or were you going to play it?
Neither. That would be transmitting it. But we can discuss it in general. Honestly, this author, I can say it's the quantum vision system, all right?
Vision system.
Yeah, I believe that's the correct name, but it might be quantum vision process, but whatever. All right. Real fancy name. Basically, what he's done is he pulled together a whole bunch of research, and he went through a lot of time and effort to put it together, okay?
Okay.
So, and he has copyrighted the material, and so it's along the lines of, yes, I will share it with friends and family.
Hey, our listeners are friends and family.
Friends and family of somebody. Anyway.
somebody. Yeah, the New World Order, they're not friends and family, and I'm sure they're listening.
They're probably our third listener.
The tyrannical de facto government.
Well, yeah. Yeah, de facto is correct. And that's kind of what I was talking about earlier. Christ asks us some certain things, and one of those is basically to be self-governing. Not to do it the way the world does it. The world does it through fear, force, and violence. He specifically asked us to do it through faith, hope, and charity. We really are supposed to, we're supposed to do all the same things as Uncle Sam does, but we're supposed to do it voluntarily. We're
right.
not supposed to point guns at our neighbors and say, hey, pay your taxes or lose your home. Okay?
Right.
We're supposed to, you know, they're supposed to contribute financially and physically, all right, to the welfare of fellow human beings, and we're supposed to take care of our roads and do all those wonderful things, but we're supposed to
Wait.
Do it on, go ahead.
But I'm a manimal.
Well, then you need to do it via fear, force, and violence, but if you're a man made in God's image, then you should probably be doing what your Heavenly Father asked you to do. And that's key, because a lot of people say, God told you to do this. Well, He laid out guidelines. And it's true, if you don't follow those guidelines, you're going to suffer. All right?
Wouldn't that be fear?
Well, yeah, that can bring on fear. But he's not really going out of his way to punish you. It's just if you walk out in the middle of the street without looking both ways, no matter how much the drivers are paying attention, one of them is bound to hit you and kill you dead.
All yeah, right? Don't play Frogger.
All right. And that is a natural consequence of not practicing good safety. All right?
Safety? What's that?
Yeah. And so God didn't punish you. He didn't punish you for being stupid. You literally punished yourself for being stupid. And, you know, so he lays out these rules and he asks you to follow them for your own good.
Rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines?
Well, it, very much in a way, but he really is looking out for you. Whereas Uncle Sam, when he makes his rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines, Uncle Sam is mostly just looking out for Uncle Sam.
Right.
And, you know, it's whatever he can do to maximize the bucks that come out of your pocket and feed his. And thus, he allows poison to be introduced into your food because you're stupid enough to think that this artificial color of blue is a good color for candy. And
what? Good color for candy.
Yep. And the high fructose corn syrup is okay.
Oh, yeah, poutine.
Yeah.
Candy. Halloween's coming up.
Yeah,
that's
I got
my favorite holiday.
I got my Halloween candy already.
You got your Halloween candy already. You gonna go trick or treating?
Don't need to.
Why?
Because Deb gave me a bag of candy already.
Oh, come on. We need to go someplace and go trick-or-treating. What costumes do you have?
Well, seeing as I'm Batman, I'll dress as a civilian this year.
You mean his alter ego?
Yeah. Yeah, well. And I'll just...
Yeah.
Yeah, I just dressed as a civilian, and that'll be my costume.
There you go. So, going back to correcting vision.
Oh, yeah. Basically,
do what?
Yeah, I stepped away from the phone. Basically, it talks about and a number of exercises you can do. And
talk about eye exercises.
Yes, eye exercises. Not looking at the book, but a very basic one that I'm sure he has in his book is you take off your glasses and you look at something with large print on it that you can see, okay, without your glasses, all right? And then you move that away from you and try to read it from a distance. And you find out how far away it is you can read it, okay? And then you bring it as close as you can to you and try to read it as close as you can. And basically you move it in and out and in and out, and you really will be surprised after a while to find out that you'll be able to read it at greater distances and at closer distances. You know, because some people are farsighted and they can't see things up close, supposedly. All right? And vice versa.
So, you know that song, I'm a Girl Watcher, I'm a Girl Watcher. Watching girls
Yeah.
Is that a good eye exercise?
That actually is very good exercise for your eyes. So, you know, if that's your hobby, especially when
that's my hobby.
Especially when they have words on their front,
that's a new thing. That helps you with your reading too.
Right. Right, and so you watch them and see how far away they can get to. You can still read that jiggling letters on their rear end.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That is eye exercise.
Right. and for some people, it might even be heart exercise as well.
A what exercise?
Heart exercise as well.
Heart.
H-E-A-R-T.
Fart?
Yeah, I don't think fart is spelled with an H. Come on.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Get your blood flowing.
Right, which, you know, girl watching might actually help you with, you know, things like ED.
Maybe.
Well, you know, it'd be a start, you know.
Right.
Get the juices flowing, you know, along with eating lettuce and stuff like that.
About?
Go ahead.
Okay, besides dietary, you know, supplements, eating right, and doing eye exercises, you know, I went to the eye doctor today to do my vision test. And, of course, my vision improved again, just like the third time or fourth. I think it was third time it's improved in a row due to, I don't know if I've been getting, I've been doing proper eye exercises. But, you know, driving trucks, doing my mirror checks, and paying attention to everything that's going on around me, I believe that would be a pretty good eye exercise. Not to mention I'm ADD, so I'm distracted by everything, so I get plenty of eye exercise that way. Because I'm always paying attention to what's going on around me, whether I'm walking, driving, probably even sleeping. Who knows? But, yeah, my vision improved three times in a row.
I sleep with my eyes open.
And I was concerned when I went to the doctor that he wouldn't comply or consent to my wishes to have my prescription lesser than what my vision is so that I can work towards improving it and even faster and getting away from glasses altogether.
Right.
And he actually somewhat agreed with me. You know, cutting down sugars was one of the main things he said will help with the vision and whatnot. He said his brother lost a lot of weight doing alternative medicines and other things to, you know, kind of like some kind of Nutra multi-level marketing system to, you know, lose weight. And he lost a lot of weight and he improved his vision. But now he can't afford that stuff that he was doing. And so now he's gaining the weight and his vision's getting bad again. So exercise and weight loss is probably really a good contributing factor as well, besides drinking lots of water. But anyway, he wasn't very argumentative at all about the whole concept. He was actually very...
Water is actually a very important concept there. And from my personal experience, when I was young, I always had day blindness. You know, some people can't see at night. I couldn't see during the day. My eyes were very sensitive to light. And when I started learning that there are certain things you're supposed to do for just for health's sake, one of the very basic ones is you're supposed to drink lots of water. For the average adult male, that's a little bit over half a gallon a day that you should be drinking, minimum. You know, on a hot day, you should be drinking much more. But, you know...
Well, like, minimum is your half of your body weight in ounces in water. So if you weigh 150 pounds, you should be drinking 75 ounces of water a day.
Right. Okay. So... Okay, that's a little bit of a rabbit hole from where I was going, but, you know, generally learning about health and doing the water thing, I was surprised to find out that when I was properly hydrated, bright lights no longer bugged my eyes.
Right.
Okay, just proper hydration.
Yeah, I brought that up, too, with the doctor, and he agreed.
Yeah. Okay, we're getting a pretty strong wind coming. I think that means we're going to get some rain. If you're still here when that happens, you're going to monologue for a little bit while I pull a tarp over my scooter, which I didn't bother to park in the shed. Anyway.
Better hurry.
Well, because I was late. Well, it's not raining yet, but if it does, I'll stick you guys in my pocket, but I'll be concentrating on pulling the tarp.
Okie dokie.
Anyway. Oh, my.
Anyway.
Yep, I can't eat this one. It would shut me up. It's caramel apple lollipop.
Yeah, that's good for your eyes.
Yes, it is. Lots of sugar.
Right. So, yeah, Marcus Rothkranz, one of the guys that we follow, is... he used to wear Coke bottle glasses. His vision was so bad. He had really thick glasses. I think that's the right terminology, Coke bottle glasses.
Yeah.
And, yeah, his vision was real bad. And he became a vegan and a wild forager, and he corrected his vision 100%. You don't have to wear glasses, contacts, nothing anymore. He's got a PDF about it, too. You can go to his website, if you want.
All right.
You can buy there. It'll be...
Say his website again, because you are breaking up badly.
Freefoodandmedicine.net. .net. That's my affiliate link to his website. If you don't want to give me commission, you can go to the .com. He owns the .com. I own the .net. But anyways, he's pretty awesome. He's probably one of the main people that I follow. As far as health and nutrition, he's not a doctor, but he's got a doctor on the sidelines that he uses for his main source. I don't know his name, but as you go to his YouTube account, you'll see his doctor on there a lot, and you can find out who he is real quick and easy. But he used to be a regular doctor. So I figured out that modern medicine just ain't working.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Rothkranz. he corrected his vision. I don't know how. In order to do, I'm changing my diet over the years. I don't eat 100% right, like say Rothkranz might. You know, he's like soldiers.
All right, you need to find really a better voice because you're breaking up.
Oh, well, changing towers. But anyway, my vision's never really been all that bad, so I've never really been all that worried about it. So that's probably why I haven't really worked out. Chance, I guess you could say.
Yeah, you're dropping
my dad.
Words.
Huh?
You're dropping a lot of words.
Maybe it's you.
We'll find out when we listen to the recording.
All right, well, let me hang up and call back in.
Yeah, you can do that. Just to continue with the subject, because I'm sure he'll be right back. Just keeping yourself healthy will do a lot for your vision, you know. As far as nutrition goes, focus on beta carotene. You know, juice foods that are high in beta carotene. You know, carrots is one, but basically anything orange, except maybe oranges themselves, usually has a lot of beta carotene in it. And, you know, I could be wrong, even oranges might have beta carotene, but look it up and find out. But, you know, your squash, pumpkin, can't think of anything else orange at the moment. But those things have beta carotene in them and large quantities of it. It's the main thing that gives you that yellow color. And what I think is funny is lately I've been noticing some generally not specifically health foods. They've been using beta carotene as a colorant. All right? Well, kudos to them. You know, let them use healthy stuff to color your food. That's the way to go. All right, Kana, where are you? Anyway, yeah, go to the website, Free Food and Medicine. And I strongly recommend that you go and order that book. The quantum vision system that I mentioned earlier, I'm looking through it. It looks like good sources of information. You can find the same information elsewhere, but he's gathered several sources together into one spot. So, you know, you could take your time researching, or you could just pay him. I don't even know his name, but you can just pay the guy who did the quantum vision system and pay him for his research, and it'll save you time. You know, it's not like he's not a ripoff. He's actually gone through this. I mean, quantum vision, it sounds kind of... Anyway. Yeah, those are two sources for information on how to fix your eyes. I'd go and order both of those kind of books, but go ahead and get the quantum vision. And Kato was mentioning there was a PDF on Rothkamp's site, but I'd go get his book, Free Food and Medicine. It's got lots of pictures. It's really colorful. And honestly, we need to get a hold of a physical copy ourselves. How much would that cost, do you know?
Oh, Rothkranz?
Yeah.
I have a physical copy. I think I paid like $10 for it. It's like real cheap.
And it's good.
Oh, yeah. You should also get his book, Free Food and Medicine. That one's freaking awesome. And, oh, his his
that's
book.
That's what I'm talking about, the free food and medicine.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the eye one. The eye one is $10. The free food and medicine is like $40. And then his free one is Heal Yourself 101. He gives that one away for free. It's kind of like his incentive packet.
Well, there you go.
Boom, shaka! So the other one we was talking about was, I was talking about in the prelude, was what was the one with the orthomolecular medicine? Be your own doctor.
Yeah, be your own doctor.
yeah, that's a really good book.
He recommends high dosages of beta carotene if you got vision problems, which is accurate. You know?
And bean sprouts.
And bean sprouts.
Oh, bean sprouts are good.
Yeah, eat them on your lettuce.
Yeah.
And then use them on your salad. Use them instead of lettuce. They're crunchy. They are.
Oh, yeah, they're very sweet. It's almost like iceberg lettuce, really.
Yep.
Depends on what kind of sprouts you get, but most of them are pretty good.
Well, yeah, you can do alfalfa sprouts, wheat sprouts, mung bean sprouts. You know, if you can find some organic soybeans, you can do some soybean sprouts.
Skunk weed sprouts are good for you too.
Are they? I don't know.
Just kidding. I'm sure they are. Actually, it's probably better for you than the actual pot plant itself.
Right.
Yeah. It's not as much fun though. And probably very low levels of THC in here.
Right. All right. Okay, where are we at?
Wheat sprouts. Oh, we get wheat sprouts all the time on the land.
I eat weeds in general. There's lots of variety of wild lettuce out there. Wild lettuce is actually a pretty large family. It includes thistle, sunflowers, artichokes, sunchokes, otherwise known as Jerusalem artichokes. You eat the tuber. There's no artichoke to be eaten. I suppose you could eat the flower heads. I'll have to try that sometime. Sunflower leaves, unless they're really, really young, I don't recommend them. They're a bit tough. But they are edible. And you can eat the roots and tubers off of any of these plants that I've listed. You can eat the leaves on many of them. The only thing that stops you from eating the leaves is like thistle leaves tend to be a bit prickly. Thus, they're called thistles.
Oh, yeah. Juice them. Juice.
Oh, yeah. I found out how tasty they were one day when I was weed eating. And I weed eated right through a batch of thistle. And the juice hit me in the mouth. And, fortunately, I guess it separated the thistles from the inner pith, whatever. But it was delicious. I mean, it tasted like lettuce, only tastier.
Delicious and nutritious.
That kind of explains why they got so many thistles, because if they didn't have the thistles, everything would eat them.
Probably, yeah.
Everything. I mean, there wouldn't be anything that would leave it alone.
Right.
So emus and cattle eat thistles.
Is that why hot chicks have thistles?
Say what?
That's why hot chicks have thistles. That's why all the hot chicks are crazy.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it thistles. They're just nuts.
Same difference. They'll stab you. Mentally or emotionally or physically.
Right. Well,
there you go. That's my new terminology for an attractive woman.
She's got thistles.
She is a thistle.
She's a thistle.
Imagine when I go to the first woman and call her a thistle. See what she says.
Now, see, my sense of attractiveness includes their personality. You know, just because they got a good body and pretty face, you know, if they turn out to have really bad characteristics on top of that, they aren't attractive anymore to me.
All women are crazy. It doesn't matter how they look.
Okay.
They're all crazy. They just have a different kind of crazy.
I will not argue with a crazy man.
They're all just a different kind of crazy. That's all it is. It's a matter of what kind of crazy can you handle. That's what it all boils down to.
Crazy for me would be just great.
There you go. Mama, she's crazy. Oh, speaking of which, there's a girl that contacted me on OkCupid who might be interested in you. And she's not that bad to look at. I mean, she's not, like, super hot or anything, but she's not ugly either.
Well, you know, I try to leave out of all my date sites, you know, my description of a, you know, perfect beauty.
Well, I don't really have a type, so I can't even leave a description of what beauty is to me because I don't really have a type. It changes all the time. I mean,
well, you clearly know that I have a type. You've seen what makes me turn my head. All right.
Well, yeah, true. You have types. You have more than one type, but you have a couple types. I don't have a type. Well, I do have a type. Just to be not fat.
Yeah.
And not on drugs. And not an alcoholic, although actually that's been my type lately.
Well, you keep falling for them.
Yeah, well, they're good liars. That's the problem.
You keep falling away from them also.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because they're good liars. And then once I find out that they're lying to me and find out who they really are, I get rid of them.
Right. You would like to fall for and not fall away from somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of. Nah, I don't really care anymore. I'm just like, whatever. It's a booty call. It's a booty call.
Right.
Yep, that's. I'm MGTOW now. I'm done. I'm not looking for a relationship.
Yeah, I don't quite believe you.
Yep. Yippity doo dah, yippity day.
You can lie, but it's still not true.
Now I'm going my own way.
Yeah,
my trainer, he's like, you seem pretty happy. I said, that's because I'm single. he did not argue with me. And he's married.
Ouch. Ouch.
He's happily married, but he's married.
Yeah, see, I'm happy. But not exactly happily unmarried. I would prefer to be married, but to the right woman. To the one who is crazy for me. You know?
Yeah, I used to think like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure deep down you still do. You're just in the process of rejection. You're in denial.
I'm in denial.
You're in denial. Denial is a wide river. Meanwhile, you're busy saying I'm in denial.
I don't know what you are.
Yeah, I'm off in the swamps of La La Land.
La La Land.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, what the hell. Yeah, my trainer keeps forgetting that he doesn't really need to train me a whole lot because I pretty much already know most of it.
Right, but he has to go through the motions because that's a requirement of his job.
Sort of. He's going through the motions because I'm the guy that's not a noob that he had to train.
Okay. Not sure I exactly understood that, but okay.
I'm the first guy that he had to train that's not a noob.
Okay. Now, if you didn't know this already, I'd be teaching you that you need to do blah, blah, blah. So why don't you just tell me what's done, and I'll correct you if, perchance, if in the far unlikely state you actually are wrong.
Well, there's a couple things I need to learn because I was doing this job as a third party, and now I'm doing it as a company guy for in-house, and the rules are different. The pay is better. Everything's different. All the basics are the same. Just there's certain details that are different, and those are the things that he has to touch on. But he keeps forgetting that I know half of it. And so, you know, I go, so I'm making your job easy. He goes, yeah, or something like that.
Yep.
I'm an easy trainee. That's probably the only reason why he's letting me podcast tonight.
Woo! Oh, you asked him?
Oh, yeah, of course. In fact, he's interested in calling in, so he might be calling in here in a little bit. I texted him the phone number already.
Yeah, just like everybody else, he'll let us down and not call.
Right. Well, right now he's talking to the boss, the supervisor. Maybe he's reporting me for being on the phone. Maybe he's a good liar. He ain't paying attention. He's on the phone doing his stupid podcast.
Right.
No, actually, the sheriff showed up at the well where we delivered. And so he's going to talk to the boss about that.
Okay.
Or at least that's what he told me. You're fired. I just got hired. Which is kind of weird because the girl that trained me.
Yeah.
She got fired twice on her day off. I don't know if it was a practical joke or somebody's trying to stab her in the back. So I do got to watch my P's and Q's a little bit, figure out who the backstabber is or who the practical joker is so I can watch them.
Right. Well, how do
but
you
other get... than that, I pretty much keep to myself, so I probably won't have to worry about it too much.
You're on your day off.
Yeah. So I'll be home, and he'll call me up and says, don't bother coming back to work.
Yeah. Or you come back to work and say, they say, what are you doing here?
Yeah. No, I don't think that'll happen. When I was here before as a third party, where actually I was down in Texas, they really liked me. They didn't want me to go. In fact, when I did my forklift training yesterday, they were like, wow, I never did forklift before. Well, I did it 20 years ago when I had to get my certification. I did forklift training 20 years ago on a little itty-bitty forklift. And so yesterday I did my forklift training on a gigantuous forklift. And I did so well, they almost didn't want me to drive a truck. They wanted me to drive a forklift.
Well, that's when you make an offer.
Well, the money's better doing the forklift. The commute would be longer.
Come on, guys. You make an offer.
Andy up.
Andy up, and I'll consider it.
Yeah, I want $30 an hour. Because they're only paying their forklift drivers $21 an hour.
You got to make up for the drive time edition. And,
right. Yeah, if I'm that good, not knowing what I'm doing, then you need to pay me extra. Which is what Tree Boss did. I mean, he gave me a raise right away because I was so good, and I didn't even know what I was doing in the tree.
Right.
I was like,
can you get a hold of Tree Boss?
Yeah. He's probably, I don't know. He gets up early.
Yeah, he gets up early. I could probably get him in the morning.
Yeah. I can call him after I get off work.
Yep.
At 4 a.m.
Yep.
Yep. So, Red Towers.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet.
I've been playing it. It's still got the same glitchy crap that it did before, but at least you can play. But every once in a while when I try to go to the chat to see what people are talking about, it gives me an error. And then when it reloads, it puts me in the middle of nowhere, and I can't move. So I have to jump back to the nearest city. On the maps, which the nearest one that we want is Mississippi, and start all over again with my route. So I just don't go to chat anymore. I'm like, forget that. I'm not even hitting the chat button no more.
Right.
Not that there's anything interesting going on in there anyhow. Most of the time it's just a bunch of crap.
Yep.
But anyhow, but it's working again, but they never reset it yet. They were supposed to reset it in September.
Yeah.
Launch the, I guess we're still in beta testing, but they were going to go ahead and launch the first deal. And a lot of people told him, says, it's not ready for release. Oh, that's what it was, release, the first release. It says, it's not ready for release. And it's still got a lot of bugs.
Yep.
But personally, I just keep, you know, going. But, I mean, I tend to release my stuff right away and then just work out the bugs as I go. But I don't do.
I just uninstalled Aurora Lux and Aurora Lux 2.
Yeah, Aurora Lux 2 takes up a lot of disk space.
Yep, I just removed them.
How many megabytes was it?
More than 86.
Mine was because 100 and something when I uninstalled it.
Well, yeah, I uninstalled it, so I don't really know how much it was, but it was the program that had the most, Aurora Lux 2. Aurora Lux is actually a pretty interesting game. I'm thinking that there's lots of different concepts you could apply that to.
It's also a really good game to play if you don't have internet.
Yeah, well, basically, if you reduce your soldiers down to just a dot on the screen and, you know, make your terrain very simple, you know, it's either wide open travel or some sort of hindrance that you run into, you could apply it to all sorts of war games where it's just masses against masses. you know. And that actually worked pretty well. You know, you could even make a global game, like, you know, like Red Towers, but reduce it down to a Royal Lux type level where you've got your bases that you've captured, you know, near you, and you can expand outward based on how much you're accumulating. You know? And just sit there and accumulate your power and then go out and attack somebody when they're offline. Which I'm sure would become the standard procedure for warfare. But you know, give everybody a base.
I would have it to where you cannot attack somebody while they're offline.
Well,
that's not fair. They'd have to be able to defend themselves. Unless you can build in some sort of auto self-defense, that's pretty dang good.
Well, yeah, just your masses of people, you know. But,
right.
You know, there would be alliances that would form and things like that where two or three people would attack the same player and stuff like that, you know, continuously. There'd be aspects to it that wouldn't exactly be fair. You know, but, you know, you let your guard down for just a little bit, and that guy gets really big really quick, you know?
Yeah. Move all your guys into one spot. Wait for the guy to go offline. Blow him up. When he comes back online, you are dead.
Like, what happened? Well, you know what? If there'd be the home base where, you know, it'd probably be next to impossible to destroy that. The only thing you could do is surround it, you know. And, you know, that'd get old after a while if you had to constantly sequester somebody.
Right.
So.
Oh, my trainer's coming back to the truck.
All right. So I get to read the book to people.
Read the book.
It's starting to rain. Time to go pull a tarp. I'm putting everybody in my pocket. I'm going to talk to you about being rained on.
All right. I'm going to do Ron Paul.
Okay. Go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Ron Paul Revolution. Hey, kittens, what are you doing here? You're going to get wet. Yes, you are. Because I ain't letting you in here with me.
Paul with your weekly update for Monday, October 9th. President Trump and the Congressional Republican leadership recently unveiled a tax reform framework. The framework has a number of provisions that will lower taxes on middle-class Americans. For example, the framework doubles the standard deduction and increases the child care tax credit. It also eliminates the alternative minimum tax. Created in the 1960s, the AMT was designed to ensure the wealthy did not use loopholes to get out of paying taxes. Today, the AMT is mostly a means to increase taxes on the middle class. The framework also eliminates the death tax, thus enabling family-owned small businesses and farms to remain family-owned. It also helps the economy by lowering the corporate tax rate to 20%, reducing taxes on small businesses. The plan adopts the territorial tax system, which means U.S. companies would only pay taxes on profits earned in the United States. However, the framework is far from a total victory for liberty. Concerns have been raised that depending on what income levels are assigned to what tax brackets, the plan could increase taxes on many middle and lower income Americans. This is largely due to the framework's elimination of most tax deductions. The framework also contains a stealth tax increase imposed via Change Consumer Price Index. Supporters of Change Price Index claim the government is currently overstating inflation, The truth is exactly the opposite. Government statistics are manipulated to understate inflation. Change CPI enhances the government's ability to lie about inflation. One way it does so is by claiming that inflation does not lower our standard of living if we can substitute cheaper goods for goods made unaffordable by the inflation. So inflation does not harm you if you can't afford a steak dinner, as long as you can still buy a cheeseburger. Change CPI allows the government to take maximum advantage of bracket creep, where individuals are pushed into higher tax bracket, not because they are actually earning more money, but because inflation creates the illusion they are wealthier. In fact, by decreasing their purchasing power, inflation makes more people poorer. The inflation tax thus raises taxes on declining incomes. It is hidden and regressive, making it the most insidious of all taxes. Most of the framework's problems stem from Congress's continued refusal to offset tax cuts with spending cuts. Instead, Congress continues to increase spending, with the only real debate over whether the government should spend more on welfare or warfare. While all supporters of individual liberties and sound economics should support tax cuts, the Republican failure to cut spending means that their tax plan will do little to increase liberty or prosperity. Instead of increasing debt, eliminating deductions, and relying on the inflation tax to pay for the tax cuts, Congress should cut $2 in spending on the military-industrial complex and other forms of corporate welfare for every dollar in tax cuts. Cutting both taxes and spending is the only way to protect prosperity and liberty. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page. Thanks.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Wait for it.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
One more time.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Yeah, every Monday morning, 888-322-1414. Once again, that's 888-322-1414. You there? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay, cool. I thought maybe I screwed up.
I had muted the mic again so that I wouldn't mess up the Ron Paul recording while I was walking around.
Yeah.
All right, I have a dilemma here. I can either get sweltering wet because I'm sweating, or I can close the window, or I can leave the window open and get wet because the rain's coming in through the window.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi. Well, I guess I get to wear my rain gear tomorrow when I go on my scooter ride to go take care of PJ's animals.
Coolness. I forgot to bring my rain gear tonight.
Well, is it raining there?
It's gonna
rain tonight. Yeah, it's raining here.
Yeah, we got thunderstorms coming in.
Oh. Well, yeah, I kind of knew it was going to rain when I was surrounded on all sides by thunderstorms. Add them to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. Mostly to the west. One for the east, I was trying to pass over us already.
Go east, young man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so next week I'll get my cool new safety glasses.
Woo-hoo! Well, grab me
that I can actually see out of. Huh?
Grab me an extra pair.
$250.
Forget that.
Well, they're actually like $60 for just the pair, so that you could actually wear because you don't need the prescription. But it cost me $55 for the prescription, which I could have got it $10 cheaper, but since he worked with me, it was worth the extra $10.
Hi.
And then with the lenses, I got the transition, which you have to get glass in order to have transition. And the whole nine yards. So, you know, I basically got the works. But I'm going to have them for probably 15 years. So might as well.
Right.
Because like these glasses I wear now, those little itty-bitty tiny ones that I wear,
okay,
they're about 15 years old. And the other ones that are just slightly bigger are almost 20 years old, and they're still in good condition.
Well,
too bad my phones don't last that long.
No.
They're not designed to last that long.
Yeah. Well,
it's Marcus Rothkranz interviewed the creator of Apple after he came out of hiding. He went into hiding for a couple of years.
Why do you do that?
Well, he just wanted a life of solitude. After he sold the business,
right?
He was like, I just want some peace and quiet. So he just disappeared and went underneath the rock, basically. And didn't want nothing to do with nobody. He just wanted peace and quiet for a while. So when he came out from under his rock, he let Marcus Rothkranz be the first person to interview him.
Cool.
Yeah. And he was talking about, you know, how we have the technology to make these phones, you know, and the stuff last forever. And, you know, of course, he didn't make his stuff last forever either, but he made his stuff higher quality than what they're making now after he sold it.
Right.
But, and that's why the other people wanted to buy it. It was such a good product. That's why I made so much money.
Yeah.
It's kind of like YouTube. YouTube was freaking awesome until Google bought it.
Yeah.
And destroyed it. I mean, it still works. It's still good. But that was only because the people who created it in the first place made it so freaking awesome.
Well, yeah. Tom's the main is a toothpaste. It was an awesome toothpaste. All right. You could trust it. They labeled their products. They told you exactly what they put in it. They told you where it came from. Nobody tells you where their stuff comes from. They told you where
right.
it came from and what's it good for. Okay? Now, you know, they did make some that had fluoride in it, but, you know, and so they gave you the official reason why fluoride is good for you, you know, why it should be there. All right? So, you know, you still had to do your research. But, you know, if it was there, they gave you a reason why they put it in, okay? And, you know, that's important, all right? So Colgate bought them out, and the first thing Colgate did was remove the reasons and the sources.
Of course.
All right? You know, can't have people being educated by our toothpaste, all right? And then,
educational toothpaste, that's blasphemy.
Yeah. And then and then they started to then they started
we can't have smart mouths running around.
Yeah. Then they started adding weird stuff to the ingredient list. And so Tom's and Maine basically became another version of Colgate. You know, and you can still find some Tom's and Maine that's fluoride free, but you know, for the most part, it's, you know, you're buying a Colgate product, you know. So they built up a wonderful name, and then the new owners
destroyed the product, but I'm sure there's people who are still faithful to that product.
I'm sure.
Sierra Mist switched over to Mist Twist. Granted, my experience here is apparently there are some people who are very much aware that high fructose corn syrup is not good for you. And so Sierra Mist, even though it wasn't the best tasting soda market, it was very hard for Dollar General to keep it on the shelf. It was the only one that did not have high fructose corn syrup in it. Right? And so it would disappear as quickly as they put it out. Well, they switched to Mist Twist. Mist Twist is basically Sierra Mist with high fructose corn syrup in it. And it does not move from the shelf. I've even gone in there, and I'll turn one of the sodas so you can see the label where you can see the ingredient list on it.
Yeah, that's how I know you've always been there, because one product is turned to where you can see the ingredient list.
Yeah, I'm on the juice aisle, and every juice that says 15% juice or 27% juice or whatever, I'll leave that percentage facing outward, So, yeah, you can tell I've been there.
He goes to the juice section, turns all the juice to where you can read the deal that says it's only 15% juice. Versus 100% juice.
And what's funny about the soda, I'll turn it so you can see the, see that it has high fructose corn syrup in it. I'll come back a week later, and it's funny that soda bottle will still be sitting in that position.
That's crazy.
And I know the workers go through and they straighten out the aisles and stuff, but I think it's because I think they don't get to it because the Sierra Mist doesn't move on the shelf. And so they just see that they're all lined up and don't bother to look at the label on it anymore.
Right. They assume it's already faced, and so they just pass
it by. Because it's in the right position already, all right? Because nobody bought any of it. And so I'll come by a week later, and that bottle is still sitting there turned that way. eventually somebody will straighten it out, but I've seen it go as much as a week, Anyway. Anyway, we've been a little over an hour and a half.
Hour and a half of whack.
Yep, and my first day off. Pretty much my first day off since you were last here. So I'm gonna turn the goats loose, and if it's not raining too hard, I'm gonna go and proceed to clear the fence line so we can see our sign from a distance.
Yes, our new beautiful sign.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I'm going to do when I get to the honey locust. And I already know that it's going to be difficult for me to, because I want to maximize what I get out of that hedge tree,
Just eat it.
Eat it. Yes, eat it. Yeah. Honey locusts are edible. I've got to figure out how to eat the fully ripened beans. They are.
I like the honey locust sprouts. Honey locust sprouts are really good.
So just sprout them. Well, okay. It is an edible bean. It's just I like to eat them green. Before they're fully ripe. Because they're sweeter than sweet peas. They still taste like beans, but they're sweeter than sweet peas. So it's kind of a weird flavor. But it's
a sweet bean.
It's a very sweet bean. All right. Well, beans and peas are related, but this is definitely a bean flavor, but it's as sweet as a sweet pea. All right. You know, so I thought you said
it was sweeter than a sweet pea.
I did. That probably isn't 100% honest. You know.
Oh,
so,
you liar.
Well, yeah, it's hyperbole. I'm sorry.
What?
Hyperbole. Exaggeration of the truth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh, speaking of liars.
An exaggerated truth is no longer the truth. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
They're sweet and they're tasty and I like them. And if ever you can harvest the green slime from around the ripe beans, that stuff is extremely sweet. That's why they call it honey locust, because there ain't no bees really harvesting that much nectar from those flowers. You got locust honey. All right.
Right.
No. They call them honey locusts because there's that green slime around the beans. It's very, very sweet.
Too bad we can't grow tamarind in Missouri.
Well, we might be able to grow relatives to it in Missouri.
Grow it in a greenhouse.
Well,
that's sweet and sour.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm going to try to grow tamarind. There's that twisty tree, the tree you call a cat tree.
The cat tree.
Yeah, well, you
know. The cat tree that's growing next to the cat house.
Yes. That might be edible, but, you know. Okay. So back to honey locust. There's a close relative to honey locust. It's the black locust. All right? Now, they're both in the legume family. But not all legumes are safe to eat. They're not all edible, all right? And the black locust seed pods look very similar to honey locust seed pods. They're a little straighter, and they're longer, but the seeds are about the same size, and it also has green slime in the seed pods, all right? But it's poisonous. Now, I don't think it's deadly poisonous, but when I ate some, mistaking it for honey locust, because I did, it caused me to get a sore throat instantly. So there was some sort of chemical reaction that caused me to have problems with my throat. All right.
Yeah, that or it was an allergy.
Well, yeah, an allergic reaction of some sort. But it gave me a really scratchy, sore throat almost immediately.
Now, have other people had that experience?
I don't know. I'll have to research it. But that's my personal experience. I mean, you know, hey, I'm not suggesting you go out and try it because who knows? Maybe it's like so many other poisonous plants. Maybe I am immune or almost immune to that one. Okay?
Right, like deadly nightshade.
Right. So I bring it up because the honey in the black locust is as sweet as the honey in the honey locust. And it's the same color. It's that green slime color. And another member of the family is the Kentucky coffee bean. It also has the green slime, but I haven't tasted it yet because I don't know if raw Kentucky coffee beans are edible. I do know if you roast them, those are edible, right? You know, and roasting has a tendency to remove toxins from certain plants, right? In others, it may increase, but apparently in the bean family, it removes the toxins, you know, whatever the toxins are. And so, you know, they tend to roast Kentucky coffee beans to make a substitute coffee. And they don't have any caffeine, so I don't really see why it's a substitute, but, you know, hey.
Decaf. It's a decaffeinated coffee.
Right. Well, you know, coffee tastes nasty enough to not get your caffeine with it.
Coffee's not nasty. It's delicious. Nutritious and delicious. My plants love it.
Coffee, ice cream, I agree with you 100%. But in general, I really do not like the taste of coffee. And you can laugh at me all you want when you watch me drinking a cup of coffee, even though I can't stand the flavor. it's the caffeine that I'm after.
You caffeine-aholic.
So if you decaffeinate my coffee and I don't get a hit and I get that bitter flavor on my tongue, I am not a happy camper.
I think that's what most people are addicted to, is the caffeine more than they are the flavor. But that's why people add cream and sugar and all the other stuff to it.
I often have a little bit of coffee with my cream and sugar.
Yeah. You know, I like Maxwell House coffee. It doesn't taste that bad. It's pretty good.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I walk down the coffee aisle and I smell that aroma of coffee. And that
It definitely smells better than it tastes.
Oh, that is just such a heavenly odor. And it gets my body desiring some of that caffeine that comes with it. But my tongue...
Well, really, we should be eating the green coffee anyhow.
Well, yeah, with the fruit still on it.
Well, the green coffee is the raw coffee that's not been roasted yet. The raw coffee bean. It's a whole lot healthier for you.
Right. And while you're at it, get it with the fruit.
Well, that's true, too. We need to get some coffee fruit and see what it tastes like.
Yeah, that might be a little hard. I'm not sure how long it'll last. As I understand it, the fruit is a thin skin with a little bit of flavor, with some flavor on it, wrapping the bean. Okay, the fruit is mostly the bean.
Oh, okay.
But the fruit does have flavor.
Yeah, but, you know, the green coffee bean's pretty soft from what I gather. I don't know. I don't have firsthand knowledge. But you can probably eat the whole thing. Just
well, if I can crunch on roasted coffee beans like peanuts, then I'm sure the green is softer too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we'll have to grow some and find out.
In our greenhouses that we haven't built yet.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to definitely grow that indoors.
You know what? When I'm saving up for that cart, I will probably spend half the cart at a time on supplies for a greenhouse. You know, whenever I get close to being able to buy one of those carts, those Amish wagons, buggies.
Yeah, then, it's definitely a next year project.
Then I will subdivide half of that off to buy metal tubes and stuff like that.
That might even be a 2019 project.
Yeah, well, we need to do it in sections. And, the silage plastic that Brother Thomas had me do some research about. From what I can see, they usually don't have any pesticides or insecticides in them, but even if they do usually have it, you can order it without.
Right. And what's that for?
Well, silage is when you take the waste corn stalks and stuff like that from the field, cattle won't eat that per se.
Oh, but, yeah, that's right. I forgot. I remember.
But if you ferment it, like you do sauerkraut, it releases vitamin C, and all the B complex, and animals love it, okay? And you can do this with a lot of the waste product from the field. You can even take regular hay and ferment it that way, and and it's really good for the animal.
What about straw?
Well, I'm sure it'd bring the nutritional qualities of straw up, but I would have to do some research and ask some farmers, and they would probably laugh at me for suggesting it. But, you know, hey. And again, they go, well, yeah, exactly. You know, they might. I don't know.
Right.
It's like, well, yeah, that's what silage is for, to make straw useful. It's like, or maybe it'd be just like, you know, a good joke. It's like, he wants to ferment straw and feed it to his animals. Anyway.
I can see him doing that early.
Well, yeah. It could go either way.
All right.
Because we're ignorant. But
Green Acres is the place for me.
Talking of which, I have not read the most recent Acres magazine that we received. I need to read that one.
I think I left it behind.
You did. I just haven't gotten around to reading it.
Get her done.
I just have, yeah. Oh, and definitely, look up indigenous microorganism, collecting of, and the, Acres magazine from a month ago had an article on indigenous microorganisms. Right. And mostly what you're doing is you put a cedar box with some half cooked rice in it out in the woods. And what they said literally to follow your senses. You know, where it looks nice, smells nice, just generally feels nice to be there. All right, you take your little cedar box, half full of half-cooked rice, and you bury it in the leaf mold right there and cover the box
up. You bury it what?
Well, you use a cedar box. You make a little cedar box about the size of a shoebox, and, and you cook some rice. But when you cook the rice, your rice you're cooking is going to be one scoop of rice and one scoop of water, and you only half cook it, all right? So there's going to be some really tough rice. You're not going to want to eat it because it's not going to be fully cooked. But you half cook it, and you put that in that cedar box, and you leave, you know, like a half to a third airspace in the box, all right? And you close the box up, and the main function of the box is to keep the contents from being rained on. I don't believe you want it to be airtight. You just want it to be, you know, protected
moisture-tight.
Yeah, you want to be protected from the elements in general, all right? So you take this cedar box, and I don't know why it has to be cedar, but they cedar is preferred, right? And you, probably because it doesn't rot and break down as quickly as some other woods. But anyway, so you take it out, and you bury it in the leaf mold of the most desirable location in the woods you can find, all right?
Wait. You said bury it in the leaf mold?
Leaf mold, yeah, that's basically the old rotten leaves and things like that. All right. You know, when leaves turn black and stuff like that, you just kinda you dig a hole in that and put it down in that and then gather up more leaf
mold. So you don't really like bury it. You're just burying it underneath the dead leaves.
Yeah, you're burying it under the dead leaves, especially the old rotten ones. All right?
Okay.
And then depending on how warm it is, you basically walk away from it for about a week. You know, in the real hot summer, maybe only 3 days. But, you know, you come back and you open up the box and you inspect the contents and you're looking to see that it's turned white fuzzy. You know, you're looking for the fuzzy white stuff. All right. Now, sometimes you'll see different colors of mold developing in the rice. You just pick those different colors out and just keep the white stuff, all right? And you take that back to your refrigerator. Basically, put your science experiment in your refrigerator, to preserve it for your next step. And they describe four stages of processing. And the last stage is basically you have this mixture the second stage, you're going to mix what you made with sugar. Preferably,
why not peanut butter?
Well, with sugar, with raw sugar. And that's going to feed the mold. That's going to feed the mold that's in your rice and expand it. And then you're supposed to mix that with
kombucha.
Well, no. You then take that mixture after it's fermented for a while and expanded. You mix it with something like seed husk. All right, and have it rot. You know, maybe even wheat berries, things like that. Some raw grain. All right. And in the third stage, you mix that with a bunch of dirt, and you take that, you actually get quite a large volume after a while, and that's why I told you, the other oak tree that's like our kitchen tree, I've got a purpose.
Yeah.
I'm going to clear all the trees out from underneath it, and that's where I'm going to process that final stage of indigenous microorganisms. And then you take collections from that, and you can make sort of like a manure tea, except it's made out of this stuff. And you can either use that as a foliar spray to spray on the leaves of your plants, or you can just in general inoculate your whole field with it. And
so what are indigenous microorganisms?
Well, mostly it's the fungus.
Oh, okay.
Mostly you're getting a sample of the fungus of the good ground. But there's other stuff. There's bacteria and all sorts of stuff that's growing in the soil. And that's what you're getting a sample of. You're getting a sample of the fungus and the bacteria and the yeast and all that stuff. You know, and that's why you're using your nose and your eyes, you know, and just, you know, how it makes you feel to be there. All right?
Wow, everybody's coming in here.
Wow. Yeah, you know, so you you use your you use your five senses to determine where the best place is to do it, to gather those organisms because they really do impact your senses. You know, if the plants are healthy and green and you can smell the fresh, crisp air in that area, you know it's healthy. You know, you're looking for a place where the life is healthy and vibrant, and you want to get a sample of the organisms, the microorganisms in the soil that helped produce that. And so you're going to propagate, and then you're going to take that and spread it in your whole field. And hopefully
right. The
organisms will help your whole field be more productive.
That's cool. We should spray those on our weeds.
Well,
I mean, we have more weeds.
Well, we should spray on everything. You know, whether we're using the plot of ground or not, because it'll help improve the soil.
Oh, I know.
You know, and so that's from not the last one, but the one before the last one. And, you know, it's something I can start doing now. So I might stop in Amish land and, you know, there's a furniture store that makes stuff out of cedar and tell them, listen, I just want a simple cedar box. You could probably put it together for me in minutes. How much will that be? $100? Are you kidding? All right.
Well, shoot, we could probably do that ourselves.
Well, yeah, get some cedar boards and make our own, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, so. All right.
You're putting me to sleep.
Yeah, yeah, you're yawning, and it's been almost 2 hours now. So why don't we call
it? I'm yawning because I didn't get a lot of sleep. I stayed up till 3 o'clock last night, so I'd sleep all day, and I slept till 9.
Well, I'm yawning too, so, you know, I don't care. Let's say goodbye.
I don't care. Fine, yeah. Be that way.
Well, you might.
Whoa, somebody almost got knocked in a noggin.
You might do our disclaimer, which we should probably do at the beginning of every show, but, you know, hey.
Oh, yeah, we can't do the disclaimer because I'm not on the computer to play the disclaimer.
Okay, well, all right. Folks, do your own research. That's our main disclaimer. We are not encouraging you to go out and break any rules, regulations, standards, or guidelines. But we are...
Or overthrow any terroristic, tyrannical, de facto governments.
Yeah. Yeah, including Walmart and McDonald's.
Walmart's a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government?
I think so. I'm not sure. But anyway.
I know Google is.
Anyway. We are encouraging you to go do your own research. All right?
And love your neighbor.
And love your neighbor, and, you know, we would warn you that this program is made for men and women, made in God's image, all right? It's not
what about
made,
animals?
Yeah, it's not made for man and other animals, okay?
But what about manimals?
Yeah, that's man and other animals. All right, I'm a man.
What about mammaries?
I'm a man, not an animal. I'm a man made in God's image, which God specifically defined as not being an animal. Okay, so at least according to my understanding of Scripture. All right, so
now I think I'd rather be an animal.
Yeah, I know you'd rather be. So this program is not made for you.
No.
And that being the case, you should run along and go tell your human, tell your man made in God's image all about this program so he can listen to it and possibly call in and contribute. So, anyway. All right. Good night, all.
So long.
Farewell.
And don't forget to check out the DD&D podcast to get all the updates if the phone number changes or anything like that at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
Yay.
Yay for the retarded kids.
Oh, my. And don't just accept reduced taxes like Ron Paul was suggesting. Push to remove all the taxes if you can. Don't pay any taxes you don't have to. Make them work for it. And even then, work at doing the voluntary systems and not the ones where they point a gun at you. So. Anyway, good night, folks.
Good night.